nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to Nationwide. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to live from Juba on this 20th day of June 2024. South Sudan joins the rest of the world today in observing the World Refugee Day under the theme Solidarity with the Refugees. And South Sudan is hosting thousands, hundreds of thousands of refugees from the Democratic Republic of Congo, from Sudan, given the fact that there's a war going on now in Sudan, and also some parts of the world. Most refugees are based in Central Equatoria, Western Equatoria, and Upper Nile region, and also Western Bahr Ghazal state. So I will be joined by, I am joined by four of my guests. As we will also be opening our lines to you to ask your questions on this World Refugee Day. I am joined here in the studio by Dr. Dut Akol, who is the Director General for Protection and Refugees. Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us here on Nationwide Program.
Good evening, Sunny Martin. I'm not doctor. Please just call me Dut Akol.
Okay, Honorable Dut Akol. I think that should be the right one, right? Okay, and also I'm joined by Gloria Fabian Nyaki, who is the UNHCR Assistant Representative for Protection. Good evening and welcome. You have been having a busy day, I guess, because there was an event at Gorum, right?
Indeed, Martin. And good evening and a very happy World Refugee Day.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Good evening, Martin, and a very happy World Refugee Day to all of us.
Okay. And I also have with me here in the studio, William Wolit, who is the European Union Program Manager here in South Sudan. Good evening, William, and thank you so much for joining us during this discussion.
Good evening, Sunny, and it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for hosting us on this occasion of the World Refugee Day.
Right. And we have the leader of Congolese refugees in Lasso, refugees camp in Yei River County, Central Equatoria State, Karaba Mokili. Welcome to Radio Miraya.
Thank you so much, and good evening once more, Mr. San Martin.
Okay. First of all, let's begin with Dut. First of all, why is this day very important for a country like South Sudan hosting a lot of refugees from more than one country?
Thank you very much again, Sunny Martin. Indeed, this day was dedicated to be celebrated for refugees all over the world. This is in solidarity to stand with the refugees who have faced a lot of challenges in the face of hardship. For our country, it is really very important because, you know, we South Sudanese have also been refugees at one time. We have been to Uganda, we have been to Kenya, we have been to Ethiopia, we have been to Sudan, which has the problem now.
Yeah, we have been all over.
We have been all over. Mm. So it is important for us to also celebrate with our own refugees who are not with us here now, but they are in exile. They are in other countries.
So what is the role of the government in terms of supporting the refugees and asylum seekers?
Our role mainly is administration, and we work with the partners. There are two situations. There is a situation whereby the influx situation, where you have people coming in a group, and then there is a situation whereby an individual come and ask for asylum. Mm-hmm. In the case of influx, we mobilize the law enforcement agencies, we mobilize our partners, the UNHCR, who are our main partner, and other partners, and we move into the borders where there are influx of refugees. We receive the refugees, we register them, we direct them where they are going to stay, on the transit camps or maybe on to refugee settlements. So on the asylum, on the individual case, an individual submits an application. This application, when that application is received, an individual is registered and he gets an asylum certificate. He's not a refugee until his case is decided by the eligibility committee.
Okay. And before we hear from Gloria, from the commission, how many refugees do you have currently in the country? Because the last year we were told there were over 300,000. What is the figure right now, given the fact that Sudan is in crisis?
The figure has significantly increased. It has significantly increased because of the influx of refugees from Sudan. Currently is 470,000. 476,957. That is the exact number now, as we talk.
Okay. Yes, let's find out more from Gloria. Now, with these over 400,000 refugees who are spread across the country, could you explain or could you provide an overview of UNHCR's current protection effort for refugees and how these efforts are making a difference in the life of a refugee?
Thank you so much, Martin. And indeed, let me start by saying that this is indeed a significant number, and we are very grateful to the government of South Sudan and also the people of South Sudan for being able to receive, host these people and provide them protection. As you would know, Martin, UNHCR is a global organization dedicated and mandated by the United Nations to save lives, to protect rights, and build a better future for the people forced to flee their homes because of conflict and persecution. We lead the international action to protect and provide assistance for refugees, forcibly displaced communities, and stateless people. And when we talk about forcibly displaced communities, Marty, here we mean the refugees, we mean the IDPs, we mean the returnees, for instance, including South Sudanese returnees who are now coming from the Sudan. In South Sudan particularly, UNHCR works in collaboration with the government, as explained by Honorable Dut, in the Commission of Refugees Affairs and also the Minister of Interior, to ensure that the refugees are welcomed to the country and, we have an open door policy, this open door policy in South Sudan is commendable, globally. And UNHCR work makes a difference, to just answer the second part of your question, by ensuring that refugees and asylum seekers are well protected, both legally and physically. UNHCR ensures that barriers to refugee participation in social and economic lives are removed and durable solutions to their plight is found. Thank you.
And still with you, Gloria, what are some of the most pressing needs and of these refugees living in South Sudan?
Wow, you're not talking about the challenge. Yes. Indeed, there are plenty.
Maybe their needs. What do they need right now?
Oh, they need protection. They flee from persecution. Imagine these people had their houses, their homes, and, they flee because their lives were in danger, right? So there are several challenges in the country, particularly, at a time where now the number of forcibly displaced people is at a record high. We can also talk about, one can also think about the conflict in South Sudan, the political and economic upheavals around the world. And then you have, on the other hand, refugees who now have been forced to flee from their homes and their countries. And what are we saying is that while South Sudan has maintained its borders open to the refugees, in many other parties of the world, this is not the case. Eh? Mm-hmm. This is not the situation. We see refugees and asylum seekers, going through tough and restrictive policies, making it harder for people fleeing war, violence, and persecution to access safe and legal routes. We see competition over jobs and natural resources. and they fuel tensions amongst the communities.
The host communities.
Yes, with the host communities, definitely, Martin. And we see increasing discrimination and xenophobia. And then particularly, you know, for those people who are coming from different culture, religion, and ethnicity. And talking about impacts on the other part of your question, we can also talk about climate change, you know, disrupting livelihoods and depleting resources on vulnerable regions. In South Sudan, for instance, talk of the floods that happened since 2022 in areas like Bentiu, Yunobo, you can clearly see
some parts of Upper Nile.
Fantastic. You can clearly see, you know, effects in such areas. We can also talk about escalating tensions when, you know, you have competing needs between the host communities and the refugees.
So how are those being addressed by UNHCR together with the government and other partners?
We have been trying, number one, to just ensure that refugees are safe, you know, they remain alive, their rights are protected. And of course, we try as much as possible to make sure that we find solution to their plight. And this involves all of us, including the international community, including the people of South Sudan, the refugees themselves. We just have to provide sanctuary and protection as an expression of shared humanity. We are all human at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, we say that no action is too small, whether it's just welcoming a refugee into your community or advocating for favorable policies that support them, or providing funds in terms of our donors who have been supporting us ceaselessly to protect those who flee from violence.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. William, how is the European Union supporting refugees in South Sudan, more especially where you work as the program manager?
Once again, thank you, Martin, for hosting us. As I said, just before I go to your question, I think I just wanted to echo the same message, I think, from your colleagues, and particularly on the open door policy, that I think the people of the Republic of South Sudan and also the government of South Sudan have been able to offer these refugees over the years. And I think that signifies a very, very good spirit in the humanity, somebody mentioned. And just to say that I think our role as the EU, I think working together with the host government and also with the partners, in particularly the different sectors, I think the EU, as you might know, that we have different interventions, particularly for displaced and people, and also the people that are facing challenges as regards to forced displacement from their different countries. And on the EU side, I think one of the things that I would want to mention is that we have been working particularly on the development side and at the same time on the humanitarian side, providing multi-sector sort of interventions. And I think on the humanitarian side, which is actually one of the key or the basic service provision at the time of displacement, at the times of, you know, needs, these are often meant to save lives. And this has mostly been provided through our partners together with the government, and this is managed through our ECHO wing, which is the humanitarian wing. I think coming back to the development, which I actually directly work with, working with the partners such as the government and also the UN agencies such as UNHCR, and I think particularly with the recent crisis in Sudan, we have been one of the development partners that has been able to fast provide funds that could cater for development response in areas that have been receiving this significant population that is coming particularly from Sudan. And also previously in areas that have seen some population who actually South Sudanese that have been actually been displaced in the past and trying to come back to the country, try to reintegrate. So the EU has been sort of providing funding for almost different sort of intervention across different parts of the country, depending on needs on those different entry points and also on the needs of this particular population.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Karaba, you are a leader of the Congolese refugees in Lasso Payam, Lasso refugees camp in Ye River County, Central Equatorial State. First, tell us, how has your journey been as a refugee in South Sudan?
First and foremost, Mr. Martin, I would like to give you thanks so much to host us, particularly I personally, in this occasion. I personally, I'm a Congolese refugee by nationality. And my first day for reaching South Sudan, particularly if I can remember, I entered South Sudan was in 2010, November 2010. That's my first day I entered in South Sudan. If you look right now, I have so far done almost 14 years in refugee life, particularly in South Sudan. So my journey, it was not easy journey, but by the grace of Almighty, but today I'm alive, and despite the fact that, you know, I lost many families and the loved one, but we have so far got a lot of achievement in a refugee's life.
So what does this day mean to you?
Yeah, this day means sincere to me. I personally, it means a lot, because it's a day which we really honor the refugees and we strengthen the protection and the support of the refugees. So every year on 20 July, we remember these days for the refugees' life.
Okay. And if you have just joined us right now, our lines will be open to you shortly, where you can call us on 091-206-2079, or you can also send us your question to our SMS number 091-2177-141. My name is Sani Martin, and I have with me in the studio William Wolit, who is the European Union Program Manager in South Sudan, and we have Honorable Dut Akol, the Director General for Protection Commission for Refugees Affairs, and we have Gloria Fabian Nyaki, who is the UNHCR Assistant Representative for Protection. Karaba Mokili is a Congolese refugee leader, Lasso Refugee Camp in Ye River County, Central Equatorial State. Yes, you can call us and ask your question. Before we open our lines, let me ask this crucial question, Gloria. For you to do your job, you need money. And there is donor fatigue all over the world. Crises are all over the world. And the need keeps growing day by day. And when Filippo Grandi came to Juba on the 29th of August 2023 last year, he was asking the donors to raise funding to support countries hosting the refugees from Sudan. First of all, I know this may not be under your docket, but do you think there is a availability of funding to carry out your activities in terms of supporting refugees in South Sudan?
Thank you very much, Marty. And indeed, as you noted yourself, this is a $1 million question. Indeed, yeah. The needs are very, very, what can I say, very, very high. And the support that we are getting is not adequate. First of all, let me just start by being thankful to everybody who supports us in any way that they can, to our donors, to our governments, and to all partners who have supported UNHCR to carry out its mandate. Whatsoever we do, however small it is or big it is, then definitely it is a result of the support that we get from those who have decided that it is worthy to support the refugees, it's worthy to ensure that they are alive, and it's worthy to protect their rights and well-being.
Okay, and with the fighting in Sudan going on at the moment, are we expecting more refugees to come from Sudan?
The situation in Sudan has not changed, Marty. As you are following up, probably in the news channel and, you know, in any other, you know, channel that gives us information of what is going on in Sudan, we still have a situation where tensions are ongoing. Civilians are subject to, you know, to the conflict, to the war, and they are fleeing and coming to South Sudan. We have seen them entering through Joda border particularly, and now we can even say that maybe we are at an average of 1,400 a day. So that is not a
crossing
small number.
South Sudan.
Crossing into South Sudan. So that is not a small number, Martin.
Yes.
And it includes not only the Sudanese refugees who are seeking asylum in South Sudan, but it also includes South Sudanese who were once refugees in Sudan and are now coming back home in conditions that are less than ideal.
Okay. Director General, what are some of the main challenges the government is facing while trying to address the issue of refugees' situation in South Sudan?
Thank you very much, Sandy Martin. I think one of them, you have already asked Gloria, is about is funding. We have very limited funding, and it is quite difficult for us to move
to where the refugees are to carry out to receive them, to transport them to where they are supposed to go. So that is one big problem. The other big problem is accessibility. The accessibility is, it is difficult for some areas to be accessed by road. So if you want to go, for example, to Renk, we have to fly. Okay? And we have, if we have to transfer refugees to Ajuangtok, we have to fly them. You see?
And that is costly.
Very costly. And if we have to go, for example, to Boro Medina in Raja, so that takes us like 2 days drive. And if you fly, it is also very expensive. So there are really great challenges in carrying out our mandate.
Okay. Our lines are now open. You can call us and ask my guest here, and they will be willing to answer all your questions. 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines. So you can send us your question to our SMS number, 0912177141. Those are all our contacts. You can call and ask your questions right here, as my guest will be answering them. And today is World Refugee Day, and we have also the leader of the Congolese refugee here with me in the studio. Hello, Lady Mirai. Hello.
Good evening, Sani Martin.
Good evening to you. Your name?
I'm Lual Kemis from Yamlel.
Okay, Lual Kemis from Yamlel. Go ahead, please.
Thank you so much for good program.
Mm-hmm.
A question to the guests in the studio. Since now these are our people from South Sudan, and NGOs are saying that they don't have enough hands, what is the move of our government? Since these are our people, they are South Sudanese, what is the move of the government to these IDPs?
Okay. You can also call us and ask your question to our guest here. We have a representative from UNHCR. We have a representative from the government side. And we also have the leader of the Congolese refugee here with me in the studio. And also William from the European Union. He will be also telling us more about their support. What kind of support are they providing currently to the refugees? Yes, maybe let's check this. Let us take this chance now to differentiate between the refugees and the returnee. So it's very important for our listeners to know the two differences. Sometimes, once I am displaced from village A to village B, what does it mean? Am I entitled to the same services the refugees are getting, or I am under a separate category of people who should be assisted by the local government in that area? So maybe, I don't know who can try to differentiate between that, the DG?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead. Because now, like Gloria said, we have South Sudanese who were once refugees in Sudan, and because of the ongoing conflict in Sudan, they're now coming back in hundreds every day. So please, could you try to differentiate between these people and the refugees, and what kind of assistance also is being given to them, and who helps them? Is it UNHCR? Is it the government?
Thank you so much, Sani Martin and Lual Khamis, for bringing up this. Okay, to differentiate between the Commission for Refugee Affairs and the RRC or the Humanitarian Affairs. The Commission for Refugee Affairs deals with refugees and asylum seekers. That means citizens from other countries who come to seek refuge in South Sudan is our responsibility. And RRC is also a government wing, is a sister government wing that deals with internally displaced people. So right now in Renk we have two teams. There's team of CRA that deals with the refugees, and there is the team of RRC and Humanitarian Affairs that deal with the
Returnees. the South Sudanese.
The South Sudanese. Back. But I am going to answer this part of that question mm-hmm. because I was in the high-level committee on the Sudan response situation, mm-hmm. which was formed shortly after the incident in Sudan.
Last year, yes.
Last year. Mm. So what happened is the government pledged money to give to the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs to provide transport, to provide food to the coming South Sudanese, because the situation by that time was really dire. And I think it's even today. I think, I don't know how much was given to date, I cannot tell, but the government gave money to the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs.
Mm. Okay.
Also, other partners that deal with this are IOM. IOM currently are also transporting our South Sudanese to their locations. They are taking them to Malakal. They are taking them to Wau. Those ones have been taken to Jonglei. So all over, there is a lot of transportation. The problem is that there is a great number of people coming, and the only means of transportation, of transferring them to their locations, is by air.
Mm-hmm, because of the challenges you have said earlier.
Yes.
Yes, we have another question here coming in from Deng in Moniki here in Juba, and says, my question goes to Gloria. He says, what kind of support are you giving to the host communities where these refugees are? Like you said, sometimes there are challenges over scrambling over the meager resources in that particular area. What kind of support do these host communities get in terms of education, health? Do they share the same health center with the refugees? That's from Deng here in Moniki.
Thank you very much, Martin. And thank you very much, Deng. That is a great question. And indeed, the refugees and the host communities do share resources that are available for refugees. Take an example of anyone. I don't know where Deng is calling from, but if Deng is in Juba, for instance, in Gorom camp, or is in area like Maban, where we have a refugee camp there for a long time, you can just be a witness to what is going on, whereby the host communities are welcomed without any restriction to, you know, to be supported through a hospital that is also serving refugees. We can also talk about schools that are there, that the host communities are also do also have access to. And even you leave the refugee camps and you go to areas like Yei, where my brother is coming from. I think he can tell you how, for instance, UNHCR has built schools in those areas. He can also tell you that we do have a hospital that UNHCR has built.
Yes.
And we can also, you know, say, for instance...
So it's being shared by the host communities, right?
Yes. And some of these are in host communities.
Definitely.
Not with refugees, but some of them, those that are in the refugees camps, are being shared together with the host communities. And they are those that are built particularly for the host communities.
Exactly.
And if you allow me, Marty, it's not only about services to the refugees. The host communities have also benefited, for instance, from issues like infrastructures, water provision through the wells, and etc. And recently, for instance, we are working with the MOI, with the CRA and DCMPA to issue the national ID for the host communities.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been able, for instance, from January up to date, to issue 5,600 national IDs to the South Sudanese.
So national IDs from the Ministry of Interior, right?
The Directorate of Immigration and Passports.
So it is the UNHCR providing that, facilitating.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm. First of all, Karaba, maybe you can take it from where Gloria have stopped. Could you describe the relationship between the refugees in the Lasso, the refugees come, and the host communities? Has there been any problem? How do you coexist with the host communities?
Thank you very much once more, Mr. Martin. Allow me to say brief concerning the relationship between the refugees and the host community, particularly in Yei and the Lasso camp.
Yeah.
straight to my question and to your question, the relationship between the refugees and the host community, particularly the national, are really very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And they include even the staff, UNHCR alone. UNHCR with the refugees, they really very consist in the terms of support one another. When you look at now, Yei particularly, Yei is not only for the refugees alone. When you reach to Yei, you may find different status. I'm trying to tell you that in Yei, you may find the refugees, you find the IDP, you find the returnees, and you find the host community. The population right now in Yei have become very higher because the Sudanese who went, the South Sudanese who went to Uganda in their Congo, they are now coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the social service in Yei, we are sharing together. We are sharing together with the returnees and the IDP as the refugees. UNHCR also in Yei is not working alone. UNHCR has already have, you know, one partnership called MAS, and the MAS is particularly look at the returnees.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? So MAS is also support IDPs and the returnees in terms of you know social support and also kind of, you know, physical support. And even in Yei particularly, you know, the government, but the CRA together with the UNHCR, they have so far, you know, provided tractors.
Mm.
You know, why do they provide tractors? So that the refugees, first of all, particularly, as Madame Gloria spoke, you know, some minutes back, you know, the conflict in Sudan has already affected even the global, you know, economic situation in Sudan.
Yeah.
And even it has already even affected with the refugees. So they provided tractors for the refugees so that they should cultivate by themselves and they eat the food come from themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So even school alone, you know, the UNHCR has already put hand in, you know, in the government school. Understand? In, you know, you when you go in here right now, you find, you know, UNHCR has already building a school block whereby all the refugees should go and study for free.
Okay.
Which means there's a free education, particularly in here.
Okay. And we have two questions here. Three questions. One coming from Jackson in Juba here. It's going to Gloria. He says, does UNHCR have enough food to feed the refugees, more especially the Sudanese refugees who are coming right now? Because there has been some complaints that the refugees coming from Sudan, more especially to the Baragaza region, sometimes they don't get the basic needs they require. That's from Jackson here in Juba. And another question here is coming from a non-name. It says from Yei River County, Central Equatoria State. And it says any either the DG can answer or Gloria. Sometimes back there were issues of armed men invading the camps of refugees in Yei, sometimes abducting people and terrorizing the refugees, causing a lot of fear. Has that been addressed already? Another question is coming from Lupai in Juba here, and it's going to the EU representative in the studio. What kind of assistance or support is the European Union providing now to support the refugees in South Sudan? Maybe we can begin with the question from Lupai to William. Yes, William.
Thank you, Sami, and thank you, Lupai, for that interesting question. I think just to start, maybe just to refresh that, the European Union delegation, as I said, have different wings, and the humanitarian wing usually provides immediate assistance immediately if there are displacements or needs is actually very short term, and that is ECHO. On the other hand, there's also the European Union delegation, which only focuses also on the development section within the human. I mean, within the interventions that it prioritizes within the country. I think just on the kind of support that the EU provides to refugees, particularly, I think that was the question. I just wanted to say that the EU is supporting South Sudan response. Particularly to different displacement and refugee situations. And in the case of South Sudan, the EU provide development funding, In the case of the current, the recent issues in Sudan, where we had significant numbers of people, we've had the numbers of over 450,000 people that have arrived, and I think this adds up onto the numbers that have been there in the past, mm-hmm. and also with also internal challenges that the South Sudan has been facing. So, the package that the EU has in terms of providing assistance to refugees, particularly, it's sort of integrated. So, for example, most recently, the development section or wing of the EU had provided funding to cater for migration and forced displacement amounting to about 12 million, which is to be provided in different parts. And this comes as a result of the crisis in Sudan. And this would, of course, add on to other ongoing programs that has been there to the refugees in the country. And also, there is also a plan to provide assistance in the future, working with the different partners. I think as a continuation to the current program, which actually focuses mainly on the Sudan, the results of the Sudan crisis.
Okay.
And I think the main objective of this development component of this particular funding is to look at how do we include these refugees to the social systems of the country, and also how do we improve issues to do with the social system. As I said, there are challenges that South Sudan faces as a country, and especially when you host this big number of population from the refugee. So these fundings are actually streamlined in a way to be able to, you know, provide different sort of interventions at the end of the day. Issues, for example, economic inclusion for the refugees, and that can enhance social cohesion among the refugees, at the same time providing some of the basic needs at the end of the day.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, DG, this question that came from Ye, there's no, the person never wrote his or her name. The question of that sometimes back, there were stories of armed men invading the refugee camp. Has that been addressed, and is it still happening?
I think this is I will just give a very short answer.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have offices in refugee hosting areas, in Ye, in Yambio, in Awil, Preng, all this. And we get reports, security reports, from all those offices. And so far, there has not been any report of insecurity of camp being invaded by armed men.
Mm-hmm.
There was an insecurity at some time back. I think it's a while now that we have not had any insecurity in the area.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, Gloria, you have two questions here. The first one here is coming in from Ogwak Simon in Torit. Does UNHCR give refugees an opportunity to join public universities in the country?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the second
yes.
one?
And the second one is about does UNHCR have enough food to feed the over 400,000 you talked about earlier? Because he cited an example of some parts of Baragazai region. Some of the Sudanese refugees have been complaining they don't have access to the basic needs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Marty. And I think the question came from
Ogwak Simon,
from Ogwak
in Torit.
Simon
yes.
in Torit. Yeah. And Ogwak, thank you very much.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Thank you very much, Ogwak, for these two questions. And they are good questions. The issue of food, you know, food is basic need. And I think when it comes to provision of food, we just have to bring in WFP, the World Food Program, into the equation, because this is the organization that really deals with the provision of food to the refugees. And we see every day that they try to support the refugees in all the camp. They give them food that has enabled them to survive to this day. We know there are challenges involved in that, and there has been a situation where I think there has been, you know, a little bit of reduction in the amount of ration that is given, but it is still provided in the country. And then we would like to use this forum really to plead to our donors to support the refugees, just to ensure that they get food and they are well supported. But mostly important, Martin, I think we want to move from a situation whereby we give refugees handouts in mm-hmm. terms of food and, you know, I don't know, non-food items here and there, to a place where refugees are self-sufficient, they are resilient, and they can provide for themselves. You know, when we speak with refugees, they tell us they want opportunities, not handouts. And when we talk about opportunities, I think we can also bring in the issue of education, whereby, honestly, we in UNHCR desire every refugee to be educated.
Yeah.
We do provide basic education in terms of primary and secondary education, but, you know, tertiary education is another level.
Yeah.
And that one really depends on more than our wish to have refugees there. Depends on several factors. Mm. Do they have the marks to go to this university? Versus do they have the place? Do they have the funds to pay for the fees, etc.? So we can say that we do have several scholarships, for instance, the DART scholarship, the MasterCard scholarships, and these have been able to support us and to help some refugees to attend some of the tertiary education. Is it enough? No, it is indeed not enough. But, you know, when we speak to the refugees, to my brother here, you know, earlier on in the day we had a chance to discuss, you know, they tell us that refugees, they want opportunities, not handouts. Most of them, they come with skills, qualification, and creative ideas to the country. And when given the chance, they make significant contribution not only to the economies of the country, but also to the host communities.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, and because of the interest of time, let's begin winding out our discussion here. First of all, Karaba, what is your message on this day to the millions of refugees around the world and the over 100,000, 400,000, I should say, who are here in South Sudan, and you have the opportunity to come from Yei up to Juba here? Your privilege.
Thank you very much once more. My only message for day to today, it is my fellow refugees, we should not forget our original country. Despite the fact that there's a lot of instability, but let us have the hope. Let us have the hope. Time will come, we should go back to our own country. And my message goes to the government of South Sudan, including UNHCR, should try their level of best to address really some of the challenges which the refugees are facing here in South Sudan. Like Samina Tobak and Madam Gloria put on forward, the issue of food insecurity. You know, the refugees, particularly in Yei, they are not like another refugees, you know, in South Sudan receiving, you know, food assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So we really beg UNHCR together with the, you know, international partnership to help refugees, particularly in Yei, in terms of, you know, food insecurity. And bring more skill training for the refugees so that they can even sustain their life.
Okay.
There's a lot of training.
All right. Now, just briefly, is it a challenge for most Congolese refugees to switch from learning in French to English in your camp?
In fact, I have my own experience.
Mm.
In 2010, when I came to South Sudan, I could not speak English. Mm. I only learned French language.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the, you know, effort which I was having, I got a scholarship through UNHCR,
mm-hmm,
with the partnership across. So after complete, I also went further study through DAFI scholarship program. That's why today you see me, I can speak English, and I'm also teacher. I'm teaching the community.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a bit, you know, kind of, despite the fact that, you know, learning French to English is a bit hard, but it needs a personal effort.
Okay.
Understand? So it needs personal effort.
Right. Yes, William, as we mark this day, and so many refugees like you had expected to be coming to South Sudan, and despite the fact that South Sudan is having its own challenges, what more can your department do to support both the government, UNHCR, to support the refugees in this country?
Thank you, Sami. I think in simple terms, I just wanted to say that the needs are very huge, and I think in the last couple of months, I think particularly now with the Sudan crisis, there were a lot of concerns on how to probably at the end of the day be able to meet some of these needs. And I think one other thing that I wanted to mention is that recently during the recent Paris conference and in April, the prospect of funding had significantly improved, particularly from the EU countries, which are the EU member countries. I think they had pledged up to about 900 million and euros, and this will probably also be directed towards providing this level of assistance where they have displacement as far as refugees are also concerned. And I think, as I said again, the needs will remain to be huge, but we'll try to tackle those together with our partners with the limited resources that can be available. And I think the role that the host government has been able to play for us as the EU has been very much important. I think it goes beyond just the funds, and I think this particularly goes into having or being able to provide space for these particular refugees.
Okay.
The element of land that has been able to be allocated to the refugees to provide some of these other infrastructure types of services, I think that is much, much commendable to the government, and I think this extends even far beyond the money that has been able to be provided by the EU and other donors.
Thank you very much, William. And yes, Director General, what more can the refugees expect from you as the host government together with the partners?
Thank you very much, Sani Martin. Indeed, refugees expect a lot from us, the government and the UNHCR. Only that what we are doing currently is managing those expectations, because they are too, the expectations are high, and the chances that people lose hope are there. So what we do is talk to them from time to time. You know, we have our fellows, the Sudanese, where you have some of them are not settled completely.
Okay.
Right from the time they entered the country. They move from refugee camp to another camp, hoping that they will get a better situation.
And the situation keeps
the situation keeps the same.
Thank you very much.
But you know, you have to be resilient in order to manage this.
Thank you very much, Honorable Duta Akol. And finally, Gloria, in 30 seconds, because we have to now go to the newsroom. What's your final remark on this important day?
Oh, thank you so much, Marty. I'm so happy and grateful to participate this day in South Sudan, the country that is indeed commendable, you know, in supporting refugees. So three things from me. Number one really is a call and a plea to everybody to support countries that are welcoming refugees and who are in need of more resources to ensure refugees can fully be included and supported. Second, we plea for the political will on the parts of the government, you know, to end the conflicts and find solutions that will allow refugees to return home or resettle in other country. And lastly, really, is a plea to all of us, including the international community, the donors, and every other body, to show solidarity with the refugees and address the challenges that they are facing.
Thank you very much, Gloria Fabian Yanki, UNHCR Assistant Representative for Protection, and I had the Honorable Dut Akol, the Director General for Protection, Commission for Refugees Affairs, Karabo Mokili, Congolese Refugee Leader, Lasso Refugee Camp, Yei River County, Central Equatorial State, and William Wolit, AU Program Manager. And that's it I have for you this evening. The news is coming next at the top of the hour in English. Join my colleague David Lucan for the second hour of Nationwide. My name is Annie Martin.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Mirai.